Good evening. Thank you for joining us as we observe Good Friday, as we continue going through the Passion of Jesus, ultimately culminating on Easter Sunday in that celebration. But tonight, we're at the cross. Tonight, reflecting upon Jesus' death. And so I invite you to stand as we begin our service, as we always do. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. We gather before God, remembering the cross in sorrow and in shame. We seek his forgiveness, strength, and mercy. We remember the day our Savior's death. We mourn and struggle to understand the depth of Christ's love, that he should suffer and die in our place. Father, our hearts are heavy as we gather in the name of Christ, bearing witness to the terror of his crucifixion, knowing full well that we are guilty sinners in need of your forgiveness, life, and salvation. Christ our Savior has died for our sins. At times we have failed to strive against evil in the world. Christ our Savior has died for our sins. At times we have denied our Lord. Christ our Savior has died for our sins. At times we have betrayed our Lord. Christ our Savior has died for our sins. Have mercy on us, Lord, and grant us forgiveness. Amen. Please be seated.
Yes.
Our first reading comes from Luke, the 23rd chapter. Two other men, both criminals, were also led out with him to be executed. When they came to the place called the Skull, they crucified him there, along with the criminals, one on his right, the other on his left. Jesus said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they are doing." What would you say if you were wrongly accused, punished through mob justice, sentenced to die, and the means of death is a slow, painful, agonizing means that allows you to feel the fullness of the pain drawn out over a long time? What words would you utter as your last? With Jesus' final words that he chooses to state on the cross, we see the fullness of his being. What words does he have for those who have mistreated him? Words of defense? Words of defiance? Words of accusations? No. The first thing that Jesus says on the cross is an appeal to his Father, but not for himself. The appeal is that the Father would forgive the people involved in his crucifixion. That was the first thought on his mind that he wanted to share out loud. They know not what they do. So forgive them even this, even the slaughter of an innocent man, even the death of the Son of God. Lord God, in our sinfulness, we know that we too are in need of forgiveness. We too are a part of why Jesus died on the cross. This was done for our sins as well. Forgive us, Father, for the sake of your Son. The people stood watching, and the rulers even sneered at him. They said, "He saved others. Let him save himself if he is God's Messiah, the chosen one." The soldiers also came up and mocked him. They offered him wine vinegar and said, "If you are the king of the Jews, save yourself." There was a written notice above him which read, "This is the king of the Jews." One of the criminals who hung there hurled insults at him. "Aren't you the Messiah? Save yourself and us." But the other criminal rebuked him. "Don't you fear God," he said, "since you are under the same sentence. We are punished justly, for we are getting what our deeds deserve. But this man has done nothing wrong." Then he said, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." Jesus answered him, "Truly I tell you, today you will be with me in paradise." As if the physical pain Jesus is suffering were not enough, those around him began to mock him. Rulers, those that should have been honorable in their actions. Soldiers, those charged with the protection of others. And even a criminal thought it good to mock the so-named king of the Jews. But one criminal understood his guilt. One criminal believed that he was receiving a just punishment for his crime. One criminal recognized how improper everything was that Jesus was receiving. As it is written, "A broken and contrite heart God will not despise." And so Jesus honors the man who in his final hours humbles himself before Jesus. Jesus affirms his place in paradise. Jesus, we come before you with our sins before us. We recognize that you have received the punishment that we deserve. Remember us, Lord, that we too might be with you in paradise in the proper time. Near the cross of Jesus stood his mother's sister, Mary the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus saw his mother there, the disciple whom he loved standing nearby, he said to her, "Woman, here is your son." And to the disciple, "Here is your mother." From that time on, this disciple took her into his home. As you look through the Gospels, Jesus' relationship with Mary is interesting. At the wedding of Cana, it is Mary who almost seems to prompt Jesus to perform the sign of water into wine. In the middle of Jesus' ministry, it is said that his mother, along with his brothers, attempted to stop him from speaking in public because they thought he was crazy. But here, at Jesus' final time, she is here. And Jesus demonstrates his love and his responsibility. Set aside his thoughts and his own pain, he's able to consider the needs of others. He establishes that Mary will be cared for by the disciple whom he loved. Any pain or tension that would be between them is forgiven, and Mary is provided for. Lord, you forgave and provided for the needs of your earthly mother. So too we pray, forgive us and provide for our earthly needs as well. From noon until 3 PM, darkness came over all the land. About 3 PM, Jesus cried out in a loud voice, "Eli, Eli, lema sabachthani," which means, my God, why have you forsaken me?" My God, why have you forsaken me?" These words are a depiction for Jesus of a reality that he faces on the cross. The one whom he had previously prayed to on behalf of others has abandoned him. As well, these words point to how Jesus is the fulfillment of all Old Testament prophecy. For these words are the beginning of Psalm 22. As well from Psalm 22, "But I am a worm and not a man, scorned by everyone, despised by the people. All who see me mock me. They hurl insults, shaking their heads. 'He trusts in the Lord,' they say. 'Let the Lord rescue him. Let him deliver him, since he delights in him.' Dogs surround me. A pack of villains encircles me. They pierce my hands and my feet. All my bones are on display. People stare and gloat over me. They divide my clothes among them and cast lots for my garment. Jesus was forsaken so that mankind would not need to be. Jesus, you who suffered separation from the Father for our behalf, we can never repay the debt that you took on for us. Help us to be ever mindful of the fullness of your grace. Later, knowing that everything had now been finished, and so that Scripture would be fulfilled, Jesus said, "I am thirsty." A jar of wine vinegar was there, so they soaked a sponge in it, put the sponge on a stalk of a hyssop plant, and lifted it to Jesus' lips. As it is written in Psalm 69, "They put gall in my food and gave me vinegar for my thirst." Again, Jesus demonstrates how he is the fulfillment of Old Testament prophecy, even in small and unexpected ways. He is the promised Messiah, and all Old Testament messianic prophecy applies to him. He is the one whom Isaiah spoke of. He is the suffering servant, the wonderful counselor, mighty God, everlasting Father, Prince of Peace, of whom will bring the government of peace that is not to cease. He will be the light to all the nations of the world. Jesus, you are the promised Messiah, the Savior of all the world. Help us to meditate daily upon your word. When he had received the drink, Jesus said, "It is finished." With that, he bowed his head and gave up his spirit. It is finished. It is done. We again turn to Isaiah to understand fully what has been done on our behalf. Isaiah 53 says, "He was despised and rejected by mankind. A man of suffering and familiar with pain. Like one from whom people hide their faces, he was despised and we held him in low esteem. Surely he took upon our pain and bore our suffering, yet we considered him punished by God, stricken by him and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was on him, and by his wounds we are healed. We all, like sheep, have gone astray. Each of us has turned to our own way. And the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and afflicted, Yet he did not open his mouth. He was led like a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before its shearers is silent, so he did not open his mouth. By oppression and judgment he was taken away. Yet who of his generation protested? For he was cut off from the land of the living. For the transgression of my people he was punished. He was assigned a grave with the wicked, and with the rich in his death, though he had done no violence, nor had any deceit in his mouth. Yet it was the Lord's will to crush him and cause him to suffer. And though the Lord makes his life an offering for sin, he will see his offspring and prolong his days. The will of the Lord will prosper in his hand. After he has suffered, he will see the light of life and be satisfied by his knowledge. My righteous servant will justify many, and he will bear their iniquities. Jesus, you have done it. It is finished. You have accomplished for us the atonement of our sins and the restoration of our relationship with God. Our gratitude is never enough, but we bring to you what we have, and you graciously call us your own. It was now about noon, and darkness came over the whole land until 3 p.m, for the sun stopped shining. And the curtain of the temple was torn in two. Jesus called out in a loud voice, "Father, into your hands I commit my spirit." When he had said this, he breathed his last. Faithful to the Father to the final end. Faithful to the calling he had to be the crucified, the sacrificial lamb for the sins of all humanity. The Son of God died. He breathed his last. The curtain of the temple, the one that separated man from the dwelling place of God, was torn in two. Where there was separation of vision, there is now the opportunity for intimacy unparalleled since the garden. God, we have a relationship with you, a closeness with you that was purchased with the blood of Jesus. Help us to daily live by your Spirit and grow in our relationship with you. Amen. The curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. And when the centurion who stood there in front of Jesus saw how he died, he said, "Surely this man was the Son of God." Some women were watching from a distance. Among them were Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James the younger, and of Joseph and Salome. In Galilee, these women had followed him and cared for his needs. Many other women who had come up with him to Jerusalem were also there. It was preparation day, that is, the day before the Sabbath. So as evening approached, Joseph of Arimathea, a prominent member of the council, who was himself waiting for the kingdom of God, went boldly to Pilate and asked for Jesus' body. Pilate was surprised to hear that he was already dead. Summoning the centurion, he asked him if Jesus was already dead. And when he learned from the centurion that it was so, he gave the body to Joseph. So Joseph bought some linen cloth, took down the body, wrapped it in the linen, and placed it in a tomb cut out of rock. Then he rolled a stone against the entrance of the tomb. Jesus, you endured all of this. All this pain and sorrow. We thank you that you took all this for us. You paid the price for our sin, for our failures, for the times that we do not do what we are supposed to do. You did all this so that we might be reconciled to God, that we could have a relationship that we would not have otherwise. Help us to remember daily your sacrifice. Help us remember daily how it is that you love us this much. And as you have forgiven us, so too help us to forgive others. Together we pray as you have taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.